encouragement to you. It was a great blessing to me, and I'm happy I ain't even started yet. But amen. God's good. I'm going to preach something tonight called the children's bread. The children's bread. But in Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21, and if you got Mark 7, we'll read here and then turn right over to there. But in Matthew chapter 15, beginning verse 21, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. Then Jesus went from thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan cried out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now this is evidence of true worship of God. Because he makes a statement to her that really puts her down in a low position, but to show her, to reveal her adoration and her great love for him, truth, Lord. Because when you're looking at the Lord, no matter where you're at, God is so far above you that what he says about you can't really put you down any further because you see the Lord. You know him. But anyway, it says, Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, Mark chapter 7, we'll read at verse number 24. Same story. And it says, And from thence he arose and went unto the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. Amen. See, that's what I'm looking for. You know, when Christ really begins to move, we won't be able to stifle it. Amen. We won't have to work it up. When you're bubbling in your soul, when you can't hide the reality of Jesus Christ. You know, and for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Father, in Jesus' name, would you make this scripture alive in the hearts of your hearers? And would you allow it to accomplish the intended purpose in our hearts that you want it to? Glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're talking about the children's bread. We basically see a woman here with a great spiritual need, spiritual situation for her daughter. And Jesus makes a statement here when she's coming to the Lord for help. And he refers to something that she's asking for as a children's bread. And if you're taking notes mentally or physically, I want you to notice number one, the children's bread is designated and appointed for God's children. The children's bread is designated and appointed by God's children. And that's a very obvious fact if you think of the very fact that he said children's. He uses a possessive here. So what we're going to talk about in a moment is something that belongs to God's children. That means it's theirs by right. It's their privilege. It doesn't even have to really be pleaded for because it belongs to them. It's something that's naturally theirs. He said it's a children's bread. And what he's saying is that it doesn't make sense for me to give something to you that belongs to the children. Second thing I want you to notice about the children's bread. The children's bread is a basic necessity of life. The children's bread is a basic necessity of life. Because he calls it bread, and bread by definition is food in general, or it also means support of life in general, maintenance. So it's not anything that's out of the ordinary. It's just basic necessities. Like water would be even considered bread because it supports a life in general. It's maintenance. And you take the healthiest, strongest person in here. If we don't have those general maintenances, we die. We get weak. We get feeble. We are unable to carry out simple functions in our body if we begin to lack the basic necessities of life. And what Jesus has here, he states it in a certain way because she's come. Her daughter, we read in the text, is grievously vexed with the devil. And he calls this something, he calls it children's bread. Grievously means painful. It means great pain or distress. And of course, the word vexed means to be controlled or possessed. And so she's come and her daughter is grievously vexed, possessed with the devil. And in the passage we read in Mark, says she has an unclean spirit. And he states here, by the context, by the way the Word of God had this written, number one, that what her daughter has need of is something that's designated and appointed for God's children. And number two, again, what her daughter has need of is a basic necessity of life for God's children, because he calls it bread. And he said it belongs to the children. Number three, the children's bread is defined by Jesus as deliverance from bondage and control of the devil or unclean spirits. Okay, is that not what she's asking for? So she comes to him saying that my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Lord, help me. It says unclean spirit, and help me also. She came, verse 25, and worshipped him in Matthew. And he says, what you're asking for is children's bread. What is she asking for? Her daughter to be delivered from the bondage and control of the devil, and her daughter to be delivered from bondage and control of unclean spirits. And again, going by definition again, this is designated appointed for God's children. So that's something that naturally all of God's children should have. It belongs to them. That bread belongs to God's children, to be delivered from the devil or any bondage that's there. The reason it's important, because you know the Bible says that we are casting out imaginations and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And Satan has so much glory today, and like something like this, what we're reading about here, I've read this passage for years, and I thought, man, this is a big deal. But Jesus cast the devil out of somebody. I mean, that's a big deal. But if you really think about the context, no, it's not a big deal. Like I pointed out the illustration with Wendy the other night when she was here, that it's not a big deal for her to provide bread for her children, food for her children. And the way Jesus states this is almost, well, really to let us know that what's appointed for God's children, a basic necessity of life, is that by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, who lives inside of us, is that we would have deliverance from the bondage and control of the devil and from unclean spirits. That's significant. Let's hold your place here. Turn to Luke chapter 13 just for a moment. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Look in verse number 10. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. The Word of God says, And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Every time I read the passage, I just want to say, yes. 18 years, nobody could do anything. And Jesus just shows up and said, loosed. You're loosed. It's over. 18 years of bondage, 18 years of difficulty. In one word, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Over. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Spirit of infirmity. Unclean spirit. We saw it in other passages. Now, the religious people, they were bothered by this. They probably were concerned because he did it on the Sabbath day. He didn't do it according to their religious tradition and the principles that they were governed by. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Number one, he did not understand that Jesus was God. That he's sovereign, he's in control. You know, it doesn't matter what your rules are, when Jesus shows up and he does what he wants to do, you just bow down and say, "Yes, Lord." Amen. Everything changes when he's present. But he had indignation because he'd healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, "There are 6 days." Now, he's trying to rebuke Jesus for what he did. And he's trying to justify rebuking before the people. There are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from a stall and lead him away to watering?" He said, on the Sabbath day, you're saying, now, what is significant about an ox and an ass to lead them to watering the stall? Basic necessity of life. He said, you have an ox and you have an ass, and you'll allow him on the Sabbath day to have the basic necessities of life. Just to go from the stall to get some water and get some hay. He said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham have the children's bread, have her bread? But whom Satan hath bound. See, everybody thought it was, she just had a physical problem, but just Satan hath bound lo these 18 years. Be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. Ought not this woman, one of God's children, have a basic necessity of life? Have something that's designated and appointed for God's children, because he specifically said the daughter of Abraham. Shouldn't she have that on the Sabbath day? Why? It's just a basic. You let an ox and an ass have, on contrary to your religious principles, the basic things of life. Why not a child of God? Why can a child of God have what's designated and appointed to him by God as a basic necessity of life? That's just things. Why can't God's children have the children's bread? Number four. It is short tonight, but it's power packed. You need to meditate and get this. The children's bread is more than, you can go back to your text for this one. The children's bread is more than sufficient to take care of the needs of God's children. Now, Jesus is so moved, he verifies this by his reaction to the woman. Because he says, now, it's not meet to take the children's bread and catch to the dogs. And this woman, this Syrophoenician, recognizes, you know what, Lord, the bread. The bread that you have appointed to your children, it is so much in abundance. It is so rich in power. It is so magnificent that I don't want the appointment for your children. I just want the crumbs. I just want the crumbs that fall from the table, because your bread is more than sufficient to take care of the children. So I just need the crumbs. And if you catch the magnitude of that, again, in our finite mind, because we see so many people in bondage to absolutely everything, we look at this as a fantastic, marvelous miracle. And everything God does is marvelous, by the way. I don't want to minimize anything that God does. But he defines it as basic necessities of life. If you think about how perfect sense this makes, how many of God's people today seem in bondage to not to do simple things like just reading the Bible, like pray, and just forsaking all just to trust the Lord. And why? Because of all we've made out so many things to be these great, humongous things that we need a great mighty hand of God, and God is mighty and almighty, but he defines this deliverance from bondage and the control of the devil himself and his unclean spirits as just a basic necessity of life. Just for instance, you would not think it a big deal if you were thirsty to give you a cup of water. Because that's a basic necessity of life. But we make that almost to be like if you have a house and your house note is $180,000. And you need to have your house paid for. If your mortgage came due today and they said you would pay $180,000, you're being evicted. We would think, man, that's a big deal. We've made water a basic necessity of that magnitude. We've made spiritual warfare so big that we need some great glowing act and moving of God or some great humongous amount of faith when Jesus says, this is bread. It's the children. This belongs to the children. It's rightfully theirs. It's appointed for them. They can have that. They can have the deliverance. You know, we cry too much. Let me just say me. I cry too much about Hollywood and all the wickedness and all the things that's in it. And it is wicked, by the way. The Bible still says I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And it still does say what sort of things are true, what things are lovely, what sort of things are of good report. If there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. But you know, can I tell you something? That is no match for the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in His mighty name. But the children's bread is more than sufficient to take care of the needs of God's children. Yeah, I've allowed myself for years to be overwhelmed at the spiritual darkness of this city. And I've listened to people say how spiritually dark it is here, and it is dark here. But I found out that I got bread. I've got the basic necessities of life. And so I can simply do, just like I can go to my tap and turn on and get a glass of water, I can have what Jesus said in children's bread. Last thing, the children's bread is available to anyone that's humble and unworthy that believe it's available. Because Jesus said to her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. What humility. Yet the dogs. Lord, if I'm a dog in your eyes and compared to you, I am a dog. Which fall from their master's table. You're the master. There's too much issues. We want to put ourselves and exalt ourselves to some position we think we need to be in. I was talking to a lady a couple of days ago. I think she's a black Muslim or something like that, and everything was black this, our people this, our people that, our people this, and black this and black that. And God did not make a mistake when He made me, but we're all, can I help you out? We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. So we all related somewhere down the line somewhere. So let's not get too crazy about how we exalt whatever our culture is. But she was looking for something to find her identity in the culture that she is instead of her great creator, you know. And Jesus, almost like He addresses it here, but she's not even worried about that. She's humble and she believes that God's bread can make the difference. So I just want to read a few passages about humility here. In Psalm 10, we see how God blesses the humble. In Psalm 10, once you notice what the Word of God says in verse 17, it says, Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause Thine ear to hear. He heard the desire of the humble. Psalm 43. If you need some bread, He'll hear you. Psalm 43, verse 2. I think I wrote that on this. Nope, that's not my verse. Well, let's see if I got the other one. Maybe. That's Isaiah 57. It's my favorite one anyway. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Have you ever really meditated the magnitude of what Jesus says here and what God says in Isaiah 57? It ought to give you a desire to be humble. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. God inhabits everything. Eternity. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, but I also dwell somewhere else, he says. I dwell with him. Well, who's the him? That is of a contrite and humble spirit. God said, that's where I dwell. That's where I abide. You know, in the one that inhabits eternity, he abides there. Can you imagine if you're humble? I mean, Satan didn't want to stay around where God is at. Amen? That's why humility is such a powerful attribute. That's why everything about our culture exalts ourselves to lift ourselves up so we'll not be humble. So we'll put ourselves, lift us, think more highly of ourselves than we ought, because Satan knows that God will dwell with us when we're contrite and when we're humble. And that's a good place to be. And hey, this woman found that. I know she found out. Her daughter was healed because she didn't receive. Lord, how dare you talk to me like that? Don't you understand? I humbled myself to come before you. And here I am. And you want to put me down even lower than I am. That's so negative of you, Lord. I mean, that's what people. I mean, imagine that. We live in a day like that where you can't hardly say anything negative because we're so proud. But this woman found out that the children's bread is available to the humble. And the word, she said, truth, Lord. She said, I'm not, if you consider me a dog, I'm a dog. And I'm not worthy because I'm not one of the children that you prescribed the bread to, referring to his nation of Israel at that time. But Lord, I don't need the bread. Your power and authority over Satan and all his unclean spirits is of such magnitude. If it's a crumb of what you have prescribed for your children falls off the table, my daughter that's possessed with the devil will be healed. But she had to be humble to see that. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 1, it says, and at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. And said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We look for greatness in the wrong fashion. You know what little children like to do? Be in the presence of their parents. That's enough for them. If they can just be around their father. We'll say it like that because of the context of the past. They love their mother too. But if a little child can just be with their father, that's enough. In fact, if the father just leaves, there's a... I always remember, I can remember different points, even with my children, they were little. The contentment as a little child just to be with the Father. And how much more will God make you and I great? Well, what makes us great? Well, remember we read it in Exodus 33, that His presence goes with us. And when Moses said, if Your presence goes not with us, don't carry us up hence. He said, Lord, are we not distinguished by? It didn't make sense, Lord, for us to go anywhere without You. Is it not Your presence that makes us great? But, you know, Satan continually tries to make a little child into a self-sufficient child. Because really all that's really supposed to happen from a totally dependent little child is to take and turn into a totally dependent adult that's dependent upon the Heavenly Father. We're all meant to be totally, thoroughly dependent upon God. And if we'll allow God to do that, it's amazing what will happen. Then, in His eyes, we'll be great. We'll have the designation, like John writing the book of Revelation. That turned out great. He didn't care anything about the book of Revelation. He just cared about being in Jesus' bosom, being in His breast, being in His side. In fact, when he saw Him, he fell at His feet as one dead. He had no motive. When he saw the Lord, had no motive, no desire, no attitude, just boom. You know, that's all I want. In fact, when you have little children, one of the greatest things that you can ever have, one of the greatest feelings you ever have, I love when the children were real little, and we go on a trip somewhere, and they fall asleep in the car. And you just put them on, and you carry them in, and they're totally 100% limp. Sometimes they wake up just enough, and they wrap their arms around your neck. And that feeling is just like, man, that's priceless, as the commercial said. Everything else is MasterCard, right? That's priceless. You can't buy that. That feeling. I can remember times having one in each arm asleep, and because of the being close to age, and both of them having an arm to their neck and just carrying them in the house. And all they wanted to was be totally upheld. They didn't get up saying, "Hey, I want to walk on my own." No, they enjoyed. They enjoyed the embrace in the moment. How much more if we could just, man, just want to, Lord, you know how I mean this. We just reach out and just wrap our arms around the neck of our Father and just carry me. Carry me. We might get a little more bread. The things that we think are bondage, we're trying to fall by the wayside. The things we think are darkness, it'll be over. We'll see the great light. James chapter 4, last verse we'll look at. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So get some of that grace bread. He giveth more grace. I don't know what you... The grace has saved me. I hadn't got over that yet. But you know what the Bible says? He'll give me more of that. If I'm humble, He'll give me more of that grace. And that grace that delivered me from the bondage of Satan, hell, throughout all eternity. God said, you can have some more of that while you're living. He said, just didn't have to stop there. You can have some more of that right now. Amen. If you'll be humble. And if you'll be humble, just like that woman. See, when she came to worship the Lord, it was not circumstantial. It was not based on situations. It was not based on even how God talked to her or responded to her. She worshipped Him. She adored Him. And when He says something that you and I would construe as negative, I know people that don't know the Lord really struggle with that, even the way He's talked to her like that. But He's purging her. And it was just like, wow. He said, great is thy faith. How do you say it? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. You might think about something here. See, you and I, based on our way of conversation, we could consider that disrespectful. If earthly speaking, that happened to you and I today, we would think that was disrespectful, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? Really? Because her faith was, she knew Him. She knew Him. So, irregardless of what the situation looked like, irregardless of what it sounded like, it could not be that He would be anything but love to her. And that's one reason He said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee. And these are good words. If you're unlearning your Bible, you ought to make mark this in your heart. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. What does she wilt? Well, she wilt is just a crumb. There was a castaway. Now, catch this now. a crumb that was a castaway, a crumb that was of no use, a crumb that was of so little value to one of God's children, if she would just be allowed to have a crumb of what was appointed to God's children. The devil that had grievously vexed her daughter, the unclean spirit that had vexed her daughter be free from that based on that. That's great faith. She didn't need some great visitation by God. She just needed a crumb. And the children's bread, she said, you know what? Because God is a good father, the bread that he gives his children is very good bread. It's so good, she didn't even need to heal. And she'd take a crumb off the table. And I don't think she cared how many seconds it was on the floor, because it was bread designed, designated by God. Study these passages. I'm going to read this again. The children's bread, number one, is designated and appointed for God's children, because he said it's possessive form of children. It's their bread. The children's bread is a basic necessity of life. Not anything big, just normal. My children don't think it's any big deal if I give them a glass of water. But they'll die if I don't give it to them. They think it's a big deal when meat hits the table or some nice bread, but water, and they don't think about it. It's no big deal. But the children's bread is defined as deliverance from bondage and control of the devil or unclean spirits. Let's not give the devil any credit for anything. Because as a child of God, we have the bread. It's just naturally maintenance. The children's bread is more than sufficient to take care of the needs of God's children. And the children's bread is available to the humble and unworthy that will simply believe. God has really made this life for us incredibly simple. You know, right now, all the movies get all the press, all the satanic stuff gets all the press, popular, all the things of darkness get all the press. But, you know, and God says, you know, made all this glorification and people worshiping him, he said that, to have deliverance and victory over that, that's just a basic necessity for a child of God. A basic necessity. The children are removed from homes in the earth if the parents don't provide the basic necessities of life. God is a good father. I want you to leave here empowered by the reality that if you're a child of God, that what you may have been trapped in bondage, what you may think in this dark world we live in, no, it's just victory over the devil. That's just bread. That's a basic necessity, just like you need water. God knows you need that to survive. And to him, that's the bread we just believe, you know. He didn't say, if he just, all things are possible to him to believe it. Because remember, what I was going to say, thank you, Lord. Being in him, as, even as thou wilt, know what happened to her? According to her faith. God bless her according to her faith. Because she believed the crumb would make a difference. So as thou wilt, he said, I'll just send you a crumb. How do you send her a crumb? Other people, he went and presently healed them. He said, go home, she'll be all right. I said, just come with it. When she got there, she was healed. All things are possible to him that believe. She believed that just a word from him, even as I will, it'll be okay. Just the leftover fallout of what's in you. You know, that's why I realized this Bible, thank God for all of it. And I'm trying to learn it all and read it all. And Lord, you know how I mean this. I know enough already, if I'll embrace it, to change this world forever. Anybody, if you're saved, you do too. This is the name of Jesus. Just the name of Jesus. That's what turned the world upside down. I mean,
think they didn't have the books in here that we were teaching about. They just went, Paul sat determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Father, You're so good to us. Lord, I almost feel ashamed to teach this tonight when I recognize how much wasted time I've spent in my life squandering and floundering and struggling with things that were just the basic necessities of life. Father, I pray and I ask You by the name of Jesus Christ that I'm not turned back from what You taught me through these passages. And I pray from the hearers here tonight that they would trust in You and accept their appointment as children of You, the bread that You give to them. Help them not to fear Satan or his adversaries or his angels or his instruments, understanding that as a child of Yours, You've appointed them victory, deliverance. In fact, it makes total sense, Lord, because You told us already that we were more than conquerors. God, would You help us to accept the truths we know and help us to walk out of these doors tonight as witnesses that represent the power and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us not to be ashamed to any situation to point people to the power that can be found in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for being a wonderful Savior. Thank You for being long-suffering and merciful to continually work with stubborn children like me to help me to get to the place where You need me to be. I love You, my Father, and help me to serve You in such a way that when I meet You, there'll be nothing undone of all that You've commanded me to do.